It's Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark LeVernier. Drama coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear the mayor of the town in a relatively rare broadcast, but right now it's Arch Obler's Place. Known as one of the masters of the radio horror show, a strange story next called Another World. An NBC broadcast first heard on July 29th, 1939.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Arch Obler. Tonight I fully expected to bring you the story of Another World, a play full of roaring rocket ships speeding through space, bringing the people of our Earth to new adventures on other planets. And then I began to think, why go out into interstellar space for a story of another world, when here on this Earth, within ourselves, there are other worlds, the other beings we might have been. Here, then, is the story of another world within our own.
Penitentiary sits a woman weeping. It is a cold, dismal, dreary night. Outside, a chilling rain beats endlessly against the small barred window. Inside, alone, a young girl kneels beside her prison cot, talking softly in the dark.
Help it, Mother. I couldn't help it. It wasn't my fault. Oh, please believe me, Mother. There's no one else I can turn to now. You'll understand, won't you? If you'd only been alive, you could have helped me. And now, somehow, I think you're close. Listen to me. And I want to explain to you. Tell you everything that happened. I remember the boy next door, Bob. He was only 10 when you died. Poor Bob, he was so happy that night. Father had just announced our engagement. We'd had a big crowd at the house. Everybody was so happy and gay. And afterward, when everyone had gone, Father went inside the house. And Bob and I were alone in the garden. Oh, it was so warm and lovely.
Happy?
Uh-huh.
So am I. It's going to be wonderful, Joan, just us two.
Just us two.
I can hardly wait for the rest of them to go. Blame me?
I love you, Bob.
I can stand it, honey. Why were you so scared when your dad got up to make the announcement?
I don't know. I just... Oh, let's forget it.
The blushing bride.
No, really, Bob, it wasn't anything.
Come on now, tell Robert.
Please, Bob.
Darling, that's love. I want to know everything you think and everything you feel, even before...
No, you mustn't. Don't ever ask me things, Bob. Please. You've got to promise.
Joan, what's the matter?
Nothing, nothing. Only, well, it isn't good for anyone to know so much about anyone else.
Oh, go on. I know all about you already. You're the loveliest, sweetest girl a man ever loved.
Keep your arms around me, Bob. Like this, always. Everything's all right when you do that.
Yes. Ah, gee, the whole world seems different tonight. I mean, there's a kind of singing in the air. Hear those sounds, honey?
Bob.
Yes, Joan.
Bob, do you ever... I mean... Well, does it ever happen that...
What are you trying to ask me, honey?
Oh, I don't know.
Come on now, what's on your mind?
Well... Do you ever hear things?
Well, sure, that's what I was telling you. Listen to them singing. Crickets and the frogs.
But I don't mean that, Bob. I don't mean from the outside. I mean, do you ever hear things from the inside?
From the inside? Well, now
if I could only explain, it's not like a voice, and yet maybe it is a voice, only there isn't any sound. It's like... Like something that wants to be born and...
Oh,
and,
darling, what are you talking about?
I don't know. I... Somehow, all evening, I've had a feeling inside of me as if...
As if what, sweet?
As if I... Oh, it's nothing at all. I guess I've just been running around too much, that's all.
I'll say you have. So strangely nervous, I've noticed it in the last few days. What is it, Joan? Can't you tell me?
Well, I'm not sure. Oh, please, Bob, let's not talk about it anymore. Hold me close. It's getting so chilly.
I'll get you a coat.
No, Bob, I don't...
We'll take a moment, Joan. I'll be right back.
Hurry, dearest.
Joan.
What?
Joan.
Who is it? Who's calling my name?
Joan.
Where are you? I hear you. You're close by, but I can't see you. Please, where are you? You're frightening me.
I frighten you. So, now you know where I am, don't you?
No. It can't be true.
It is true. I speak from within you.
No. No, it's someone speaking from the outside. Someone trying to frighten me. I won't listen to you.
Yes. Cover your ears. Yes, you still hear me.
In my head.
Yes, in your head.
Madness.
You little fool, it's reality. Stand where you are and listen. You must.
In my head.
Yes, yes, in your head. That's where I am, and that's where I've been all these years. Yes, yes, the two of us living in the same body. Your white body. You've known I was there, haven't you?
No. No.
Oh, yes, you have. I've fought with you all your life. You've wanted to do this. I've wanted to do that.
No.
You felt me struggling within you, but you haven't dared admit that I was there.
No.
But now, at last, I've found words. Only you can hear them in your own mind, but they're words, words, and they'll give me the world that belongs to me. Listen, you, I've waited a long time for this, a long time. You've got to let me live.
Live?
Yes, live. Live. Speak words that others can hear. Do what I want with this body I live in. I've wanted to live so much. I've fought in the darkness so long. At last, I've fought my way through so that you can hear me. But now I want more. Much more. I want to have all of the body. You hear me? All of it. You've had it so long. It's my turn now. Listen. You've got to give it up.
Give up?
Yes. Yes, you simple fool. Stop repeating my words. I want you to give it up, your body, your mind, to me. In the end, you'll have to anyway. I've grown stronger month after month, year after year. I've always been you, without words. But now you hear me. You've got to give up your body, your mind, to me. It'll be easy. Just give up. Give up struggling against me.
Oh, no.
I will win. I will. I've waited so long until you were tired. That simple little mind of yours tired. And now I won't go back into the darkness. I'll thrust you out. I'll live. I'll live.
Joan. Joan, honey. What is it, honey? What's happened?
Oh, my clothes are off. The way it was, Mother. The first time. That was the first time I heard her. She was in my mind, Mother. Right in my mind. I could hear every word. It was madness, and yet it wasn't madness. It was really happening. Oh, the terrible days that followed, Mother. That horrible woman inside of me. Carmen, she called us love. Fighting me every moment, wanting me to... Well, I didn't quite understand. To stop resisting her, I guess. So that she could come alive in me and do what she pleased with me. At first, I was too frightened even to struggle. She made me think such horrible things, Mother. Father and Bob couldn't understand what was happening to me. They used to spend long hours together talking over what had happened.
Mr. Andrews, I tell you, Joan has changed.
Now, my boy, calm yourself. Everything will come out all right.
We've got to do something, sir. Why should someone as sweet and gentle as Joan suddenly turn into... I tell you, I can't stand it.
But my boy, what can we do? I don't dare call in a physician. He might say...
Yes, I know what you're thinking. But she's not insane, sir. Don't even think of it. Joan is not insane. It's a strange sickness. It'll pass. It's got...
Yes, Mother. I used to hear them through my bedroom door. Long hours of talking whether I was sane enough. And all the time that horrible woman inside of me, threatening me, telling me that they'd put me away in an asylum unless I listened to her. Taunting.
Yes, I tell you, that's what they're doing. Talking about you out there. Saying you're insane. You hear me? Insane. Insane, that's what they're saying. Insane.
I'll go to them. I'll tell them the truth.
The truth? You little fool, who'll believe you? A mind within a mind. Who'll believe you, I say? They'll put you in an asylum for life. You hear me? An asylum for life. You know what that means? Yes, yes. Weep, you little white-faced fool. But that won't help you. In an asylum, that's where they'll put you. Walls around you all your life. Better to be dead, I tell you. Better to be dead.
Yes. Yes, I'd rather be dead than that.
Then listen to me. Let me take over. Let me live. It'll be so easy. Just don't fight me anymore. You will do that, won't you?
No. Never. Never, you evil thing. I'll never let you.
You will. You will. You will.
That's what I told him. I'd never let her have me to do what she wanted, never. But she kept after me, Mother. Day after day. Oh, I couldn't stand it any longer. And in Father's eyes, I began to see the thought of insanity. And I was so afraid. So very afraid. And she kept after me. Hour after hour. Taunting. Threatening.
Listen, you little fool. Listen to me, I say. You must listen. Oh, what's the use of burying your head in the pillow? You know you'll never hear me no matter what you do. You'll always hear me. I'm in you. In you forever. You hear me forever.
Oh, why don't you leave me alone?
You fool, I can't leave you alone. I can't. I want to live. I've wanted life so long. You've got to let me have it.
I'll go to Dr. Ween. I'll tell him everything. He's my friend. He'll help me.
No, no, no doctor, you little fool. No doctor. They'll put you in an asylum, I tell you. An insane asylum.
I don't care. Anything to stop this madness. You.
No. No, you can't go to anyone. A bargain. That's what I'll make with you, a bargain.
Bargain?
Yes, that's what I'll make with you, a bargain. I'll give you your freedom. Freedom, do you understand? I'll never talk again. You won't even know I'm here inside of you. You'll be just as you used to be. You'll be alone if you go away.
Oh, I thought you meant if I could only trust you.
You can. You can leave this house, go away, far away to a new town, start a new life. I'll leave you alone if you do. Only go away. You've got to go away.
A new life. Yes. Yes, a new life. I'll go away. I'll go away. And so I took the money you left me, Mother. I took it and I ran away. My money was gone. And I found myself in this city. Unknown. A thousand miles from home. But happy. Because I thought I was free from her. Yes, Mother, I was free from her. All the time on the train, not a word did she speak in my head. Not a single thought. And then for a week in the city, she was gone, Mother. Completely gone. And I was so happy. With a few dollars I had left, I got a room. And then I got a job, and I said, oh, dear God, at last I'm free again. And then I began to get lonesome. Lonesome for Bob. Maybe wanting him so much was what finally brought him to me. 3 weeks later, he finally found me.
I don't care why you did it, Joan. It doesn't matter now, just so I found you.
I've been so terribly lonesome, Bob.
We're going home.
I can't, Bob.
Why not?
I can't, that's all. You've got to believe me.
But I don't know what to believe anymore. You keep on saying that you still love me.
I do. I do love you, Bob. I'll always love you.
Why don't you want to go back with me, then?
Because I've got reasons, I tell you. You wouldn't understand.
But how can I? You won't give me a chance. You're not even giving yourself a chance. You don't belong in a place like this. You belong with us, with your dad and with me. We love you, Joan. We want to take care of you. If it's something you've done...
No, nothing like that.
Well, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, we'll make it right. If you'll just come back with
me. Don't ask me, Bob. Don't ask me anymore.
I love you, Joan.
Then do what I say. Please, if you really love me, go away and leave me here. Go back. Go back alone. Please, I'm begging you, Bob. Because I love you.
You love me and I love you. I think we've had enough of this nonsense. You listen to me, Joan. I'm going downstairs and I'm going to pay your bill. And we're going to pack your things and we're going to catch the next train. We'll have no argument about it.
No, either. Bob. Bob.
Joan.
No.
Joan.
Just come back.
Yes, I've come back. But I'll live now. I'll take your place with Bob.
But you can't do that. You don't love him.
How do you know? Why, you little white-faced Puritan, what do you know about love? What do you know about life? What will you ever know unless I teach you? Don't worry, though. You'll learn in time. I'll take over this slim white body of yours. I'll make you burn and freeze and sing and cry. I'll make you crawl in the mud and dance in the sky. I'll teach you. I'll teach you, Joan.
I won't let you. I won't. I won't let you.
They'll say you're mad.
I don't care. I don't care, I tell you.
I know. You want to go home. Straighten things out in that funny little head of yours. Not a chance, lady. We're not waiting for anything now. Come on, let's get to work on these bags.
I warned you, Joe.
There's no time now, honey. The train leaves in 40 minutes.
I said I'd destroy you, Joe.
You know, for the first time in my life, I enjoyed Pat. That might never happen again.
Kill him.
No.
What did you say?
Kill him.
Don't look so scared. Pass me those things on the dresser.
Kill him.
You know, I just figured out why I never enjoyed packing before. I never tried it when I was happy.
The scissors on the dresser, Jones.
Anyway,
pick them up. They're
honey,
sharp. Hold them
right.
Tight, Jones. Tight.
All about these last few
he's
months.
Not looking.
I
raise your arm.
Like
higher. Higher.
So darn happy.
Now.
We'll always
right.
Yes, Mother. Dead. Dead. But I didn't do it, you understand? I didn't do it. It was she. She pounding in my mind. She made my fingers hold the scissors. She made me. Oh, Mother. Mother, you do understand, don't you? She wanted to destroy me. And that's the way she did it. And then the trial. What could I say? What could I do? Who would believe me? She didn't come back anymore. She was satisfied with what she did. She was waiting. Oh, that trial. Lawyers talking.
Can I say to you, gentlemen of the jury, that never in the history of this community has a more...
Stop it. Was I sane? Was I insane? Stop it. More doctor.
I'll stake my professional reputation on that.
Testimony. Evidence. Prosecution. Defense.
Insane.
People talking. 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 Oh, Mother. Mother, what I've gone through. What a horrible thing she's done to me. I can't cry anymore. There's so much to tell you. There was my lawyer. The judge appointed him. I had no money, you see. You see, Mother, I didn't tell them my right name. I didn't want the newspapers to print it so that Father would find out. They don't even know about me now, Mother. It's best that way, don't you think so? Oh, yes. I was telling you about my lawyer. His name was Eric. He was very kind. He tried so hard to help me. So bad.
Joan, listen to me, Joan. Why don't you let me help you? Tell me everything there is to tell.
Oh, please.
But the trial's almost over and things aren't going well for us, you know.
What difference does it make?
But, Joan, it does make a difference. It makes a difference to me. Oh, my darling, look at me.
Eric.
I want you to live, Joan. I want you to live, if not for your own sake, for mine.
It's too late.
No, it's not too late. This is a sudden jury. You're a woman. Given the slightest reason to doubt, and they'll never convict you. But if you continue this silence, you will die, Joan. And I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die.
He was in love with me, Mother. Such a fine man. In love with me, who could never know love because of her. During the last day of the trial, in all those days, she'd never talked to me. Gone, silent. Eric made a speech to the jury. He said that if I killed the man, there must have been a good reason for what I did, a reason I couldn't tell even to him. Oh, Mother, how could I tell him of her, that horror within me? Then the jury went out. Oh, such a long time. Eric was very pleased. He said the longer they stayed out, the better.
The jury's been out almost 6 hours now, Joan. It's a good sign.
You've been very kind, Eric.
Joan.
You.
What is it, Joan?
Nothing, Eric.
No need to worry, Joan. They won't convict you.
Joan, what's the matter? You're so pale.
The jury coming in.
The jury. Look. Look, darling. They're smiling.
You'll live, Joan. You'll live. And I'll live with you.
Joan, I think we did it.
We'll both live, Joan. We'll live for Eric.
No. Not him.
He loves you, doesn't he? We'll take care of him. First it was Bob. Now it's Eric. Then...
I won't let you. I won't let you.
Joan, what is it? The jury looks...
Both of us, Joan. With Eric.
I won't let you. I won't let you.
Joan!
We, the jury, find the defendant not...
Stop. Stop. I did it. I killed him.
It's time, miss.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Maketh me to lie.
They're leading me from the cell, mother.
Leadeth me beside
the corridor is long and dark.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow.
I'm not afraid to die, mother. I'm not afraid. When I die, she died too. Her evil died with me. That's why I'll die happy, Mother. Happy. Another door, Mother. Light. Coward. I can't be afraid, Mother. I can't. She died too. Walk upstairs. The gallows platform. I'm smiling, Mother. Smiling down at all of them looking up at me down here. I'm smiling, Mother. I mustn't be afraid, Mother. I mustn't. She dies with me. The evil of her.
I will not die with you, Joan.
You will. You will, Carmen.
I'll be close to you. Fire in you for all eternity. You hear me? For all eternity. I might have had life, but for you, you hear me? Life. And you stole the body from me. For that, I'll never give you peace. Never, never. His hand is on the lever. In a second, the trap beneath your feet. But no peace for you, you white one. Never, never.
The law is satisfied.
You were wrong, Carmen. Evil one. You were wrong. Now there is peace.
Tonight's play was especially written for radio by Arch Obler and featured Betty Gard in the dual role of Joan and Carmen. Included in the cast were Hester Sondergaard, Frank Lovejoy, John Brown, Arnold Moss, and Gilbert Mack. Next week, we will bring you three short plays of children and their ways with a cast including Mr. Ray Collins and Sidney Lumet. Arch Obler's plays are presentations of the National Broadcasting Company.
Arch Obler's plays on Tuned to Yesterday from July 29, 1939 on NBC. It was also in that year that he contributed stories to the Good News of 1940 program with Walter Huston starring in Bright World and Edward Arnold and Claudette Colbert starring in one of his dramas of love, crime, and punishment called Happy Year. It's an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. And now for some lighthearted fare from the mayor of the town, starring Agnes Moorhead and Lionel Barrymore. The CBS broadcast first heard on July 13th, 1946.
Noxema's two famous products.
Noxema skin cream for a smoother skin.
And Noxema shave cream for a cooler shave. Presents the mayor of the town, starring Lionel Barrymore. painful sunburn adding to your shaving troubles? Then right now is the time to switch to Noxzema Shave Cream. And now, The Mayor of the Town, starring Lionel Barrymore, with Agnes Moorehead as Marilli and Conrad Binion as Butch. Well, it's a warm summer evening on Elm Street. The mayor, his ward Butch, his housekeeper Marilli, are on the front porch. And Marilli is warming up her vocal cords for choir practice.
Get us out of that corner. I've been stuck in there so long, I'm getting claustrophobic.
Well, I don't know what's happened to my voice, Mayor. It kind of sticks on me in places. Maybe on account of that bug I swallowed a while ago. He blew right down my throat. Well,
it's a mystery to me how he ever did it. Like a Piper Cub bucking a wind tunnel.
Maybe you shouldn't go to choir practice, Marilli. If you get sick, we can't go on our vacation. Hey, maybe you just better lie down and gargle.
Oh, now there's no use in you being so thoughtful all of a sudden. I'm going to church and you're going with me to carry that basket of flowers to Reverend Dinwiddie.
Yes,
ma'am. And you will sit in a pew and wait for me like a little gentleman. Not rolling your eyes or indulging in pained expressions while we're singing.
Yes, ma'am.
And also refrain from rushing out every 5 minutes for a drink of water now.
Well, gee whiz, Marilla, I just can't help that.
Well, why can't you help it?
Oh, it's those songs the choir sings.
Huh?
You're always waiting by the shore or standing by the river or sailing in the harbor. And I get terrible sick.
Oh, fiddle-dee-dee.
Oh, it makes me dry just to hear about it. Will anybody else like a swig of this lemonade?
Oh, I would, Mayor.
You know, speaking of lemons.
Come now, Marilli. Let's refrain from personality.
Speaking of lemons, reminds me of Miss Torrance.
Oh, why does Mrs. Torrance make you think of lemons, Marilli?
Well, because I was over there today to talk about our trip, you know, and she was making a cherry pie. And her mother, old Mrs. Blair, was removing the cherry pits, and I could feel at once there was an air of tension.
Oh, well, it might have interrupted a little squabble. Old Mrs. Blair's getting on in years.
72 months. I gave her a fissue for her birthday.
Sure. And when you get to be that
what
age...
What fissue with polka dots for your thing?
When you get to be that age, you like to have your own way.
$1.98 at the Bon Ton, I remember.
What about this morning, Marilla?
Oh, yes. Well, it was more than just a light squabble, as you termed it, Mayor.
Yes.
Because Mrs. Blair had been crying.
Yeah?
Didn't want me to know, of course.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't hardly lift her head.
Oh, gee, Marilla, maybe just before you came in, she was peeling some onions.
Oh, I just got through telling you, Roscoe, that she was pitting cherries.
Yeah, I know, but
and
she
could... And it is fairly unlikely, highly unlikely indeed, that she would peel and pit in one morning.
Hey, and just think, by asking Butch if he wanted lemonade, I started this whole edifying conversation.
Well, when you mentioned lemon, a thought was straightway telegraphed in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
You see, lemon is the word I use to remember the name of Miss Troy.
Who's Miss Troy?
Well, she's an interior decorator, and she comes from Schenectady, you know.
Well, what makes you think of Miss Troy when you think of lemons, really?
Because the last time I was in Schenectady, lemons were 70 cents a dozen.
Hey, look.
Huh?
Have you any idea at all what you're talking about?
Certainly. This Miss Troy was leaving the Torrance house just as I got there.
Yes.
And I have a pretty good idea that her visit was the cause of old Mrs. Blair crying and her daughter acting so stiff.
You know something, Marilla?
What?
You've got an imagination with a two-way stretch.
One, two, three, four.
Half past seven. Come on, Roscoe. I don't want to be late for choir practice.
Okay, Marilla, I'm coming.
We'll be home about 10 there.
All right, Marilla. I think the house and I'll still be here.
No, will you try the notion in your other hand and stop bumping it against my legs? I'm afraid that if anybody thinks you've been gone under a lot. Wow.
Sweet Alice?
Wow.
Ickity, kitty, kitty.
Wow.
Come on, jump up. Plenty of room.
No.
You know what I admire most about you, sweet Alice?
No.
It's the wonderful fact that you're only a one-word woman. The word meow is your entire vocabulary. Yes, sir. I'm very grateful for the fact that you can't talk.
Isn't it a lovely evening, Mayor?
Oh, God. Sweet Alice, is that you?
It's me, Mayor. Mrs. Blair.
Oh, well, I'm certainly glad to hear that. For a minute, I thought sweet Alice had soured a beautiful friendship.
Well, I knew this was the night for Marilla's choir practice.
Yes.
So just as soon as I saw her and Bush go past our house, I came right over to talk to you in private.
Well, I'm glad you did, Mrs. Blair. Sit down, won't you?
Oh, thank you, Mayor.
How about some lemonade?
Well, it always was my favorite, Mayor.
Mine, too.
In fact, Henry and I, he was my husband, we met over a glass of pink lemonade.
Is that so? Well, here you are, Mrs. Blair. Oh,
thank you. That was at the World's Fair in Chicago in 1893.
Wow. Oh, that's quite a few years ago.
I was only 17.
Yes?
But he was 21, and he had a beautiful mustache.
Handlebar style?
And what? It tickled dreadfully when he kissed me on top of the giant Ferris wheel. You know, my daughter'd be real upset if she knew I was over here bothering you.
Ah, bothering nonsense. I'm glad to have someone to visit with.
Well, old people do get so terribly lonesome.
Oh, so people.
And ever since Henry passed away,
I understand perfectly, Mrs. Blair.
But I didn't really come over just to visit, Mayor. I came to ask you something.
Oh, well, just fire away.
Well, my daughter is having her whole house done over. Right from top to bottom.
Oh, you don't say.
Oh, I guess it's going to be real pretty.
Oh, sure.
She's hired a Miss Troy, who's a high-priced decorator, to see that it's right up to date.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've heard of Miss Troy.
And my room's going to be done, too, of course.
Uh-huh.
New wallpaper, curtains, and such.
Uh-huh. Sure.
New furniture, too.
Yeah? Hmm.
They're selling my old stuff secondhand. Oh, it don't amount to much. I don't set any store by it. Except one thing.
What's that?
A rocking chair. Henry and I had it when we were first married.
I see.
I guess I'm just a silly old woman, but I like to sit in it.
Oh, sure.
I like to sit in it and kind of remember all the good times we had when the chair was brand new. And Henry and I were young and new, too.
Sure. A person can rock a lot of miles, a lot of memories into a chair like that.
It was a wedding present.
Is that a fact?
Mm-hmm. The men where Henry worked, they picked it out and brought it up to the house and made me sit down and try it. Then they made Henry try it with me sitting in his lap.
I'll wager you were a very pretty bride, Mrs. Blair.
Well, Henry thought so. Of course, he was terribly prejudiced.
Well, now, just what would you like me to do, Mrs. Blair?
Well, if I gave you the money, could you buy the chair and put it in your shed?
Well, I don't see why I couldn't.
And then maybe I could run over now and then and just sit in it and rock.
Mother?
Oh,
Mother?
Oh, that's my daughter. I'll have to go.
Sure. Now, don't worry about a thing. We'll work it out.
Thank you, Mayor. And good night.
Good night, Mrs. Blair. Good night.
Mother?
Yes, Dorothy, I'm coming.
Good night, Mrs. Blair. Good night.
Well, it's the afternoon following old Mrs. Blair's evening visit with the mayor. And now Miss Alicia Troy, quite young and very coolly efficient, looks up from her desk as the mayor is shown into her office.
How do you do, Mayor?
Miss Troy?
Yes. Will you sit down?
Thank you.
I was sorry to keep you waiting. I'm so very busy.
Oh, that's quite all right, Miss Troy. Your reception room is very comfortable. And indeed, look at it.
Traditional 18th century in line and mass, with the modern note and proportions and finishes.
Oh, you don't say.
This being my office and workroom is strictly modern and utilitarian.
This is sort of up-to-date and stripped for action.
Exactly. No useless gadgets. Nothing to discuss.
Efficiency plus.
That divan becomes a bed if I have to stay night. The telephone cabinet is a small refrigerator, etc. You see, everything has a purpose.
I suppose that doll over there on the table conceals a dictaphone.
A doll? Oh, no. No, the doll has no purpose at all, Mayor. Well, it's sort of a mascot.
Oh, really?
It was the first store-bought doll I ever owned.
Uh-huh.
My parents were rather poor. Silly to hold on to such keepsakes, but I allow myself the indulgence.
Well, I can't see anything wrong about that. What'd you call her?
Marianne. What did you wish to consult me about, Mayor?
About a rocking chair.
A family heirloom?
No, just a rocking chair. It belongs to old Mrs. Blair, Mrs. Torrance's mother.
Oh, yes, I know the chair you speak of. Early Grand Rapids. Rather horrible.
Oh, but not to Mrs. Blair. She's very partial to that rocker, Miss Troy. I wanted to ask you if you could redecorate her room so that her chair could stay right where it is.
You're asking the impossible, Mayor.
Why?
The chair's a monstrosity. No matter what I planned, it would stick out like a sore thumb.
Well, perhaps it would. But it'd make Mrs. Blair very happy, Miss Troy. And isn't that the purpose of rooms, to make people comfortable and at home?
The purpose of modern design.
Well, I'm not talking about modern design. I'm talking about an old lady and an old chair and some very special memories.
I'm afraid you're being reactionary.
It is. I'm afraid I'm being even worse, Miss Troy. I'm being sentimental. Two very great sins in this modern day. But I have got a great deal of comfort and pleasure out of them.
Well, being engaged in a business that's highly competitive, I can't afford such luxuries. Very sorry, I can't do anything for you, Mayor.
Well, I'm very sorry, too, Miss Troy.
Is that all you wish to see me about?
Yeah, that's all. And please forgive me for asking the impossible. But you know something? You had me fooled for a minute.
Fooled?
Yes, sir, fool. I had the crazy idea that anyone who kept an old doll named Mary Ann would be a pushover for an old rocking chair. Well, good day, Miss Troy. Good day. Good day. Sultry, too. Which I wouldn't be surprised if we had a shower before morning.
Well, it's not much cooler out here on the front porch than it is in the... Boy, did I smash that one. You know, I think I kind of draw a mosquito.
Well, I wish you'd draw a few from over my way. I also wish Marilla'd show up with a handful of punk and a pitcher of lemonade.
Oh, she chased off right after she finished the supper dishes to see old Abby Peters or somebody.
Well, she's got a better cooling system than I have.
Meow.
Sweet Alice?
Meow.
Hey, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Meow.
Come on, Sweet Alice. Jump up on the porch swing.
Meow. Mayor?
Yeah?
Do cats sweat?
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I just wondered. Whenever I lie here on the steps on a hot night, I always wonder things like that.
Is that a fact?
Sometimes I even wonder why I wonder. Hey, maybe I'm going nuts, huh?
Well, maybe we all are.
You think so?
Well, if you live long enough in a topsy-turvy world, you're bound to get a little topsy-turvy yourself.
Meow.
Oh, you agree with me, Sweet Alice. Thank you.
Oh, don't you feel good tonight, Mayor?
Yeah, sure I feel all right. Butch, why?
Oh, did you have a hard day?
No, well, I had a little disappointment. I made a discovery. In this brave new world, I'm just a pre-atomic softie.
Hey, here comes Marilla.
Yes?
Gosh, getting home this early, she and Abby Peters must have had a fight.
Mayor? Russell?
We're right here on the porch, Marilla.
No, until I was sure. I've just been accosted.
Where did this miracle occur?
Right down there at the corner.
Yes, sir, he stepped up and spoke to me bold as brass. Yes, then he pressed this quarter in my hand and walked off.
Oh, gee whiz, Marilla, why should he give you 2 bits?
Well, that's what I don't know, Rosco. You see, I stopped for just a minute to try out my voice. I've been worried about the way it's been sticking on the high notes, you know, and I was 8 bars into brightening the corner when he spoke to me.
What'd he say?
Well, he said, "Here, my poor destitute creature, take this arms for coffee and a sandwich." Well, I tell you, just goes to show the kind of people we have walking around our streets. Anyone with eyes in his head would know I'm not the type of person who can drink coffee this late at night.
Oh, I thought you went to see old Abby Peters. What were you doing down by the corner, Marilla?
Well, Abby wasn't home, so I went to call on Miss Torrance. Had a lovely chat.
Yeah, I bet you had, too.
Yes, and while I was there, that Alicia Troy stopped by for a minute.
Oh, I'd say Miss Troy keeps very late business hours.
Well, she was terribly excited over something she found out, and she just had to tell Mrs. Torrance.
Oh, what'd she find out, Marilla?
Well, she said nobody'd hardly believe it. It even had her fooled till this afternoon. But there's an old rocking chair in Mrs. Blair's room that's practically priceless.
No. I mean, is that so?
Yes, that's what Miss Joy did. And after talking to a well-known authority in her office, she suddenly recognized the rocker as a very fine old specimen of the Mary Ann period.
Don't say.
Yes, a very important period, according to Miss Joy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what's she going to do with this old chair, really?
Well, she's going to leave it right in the bay window of old Miss Blair's room, and she's going to decorate the whole room to fit the chair.
Are you sure of that, Marilla?
Yes. I can remember exact words. She said, "It would be the most comfortable and heartwarming room in the house.
Uh-oh.
Reactionary in line and mass, and sentimental in proportions and finishes." She said. That's what she said.
Well, now, that Miss Troy is quite heartwarming herself.
What?
Nothing. I imagine old Mrs. Blair was quite surprised.
Oh, my goodness, he was just tickled to death, maybe. Just tickled pink. Didn't everyone has a genuine Mary Ann rocking chair, you know. Mm. Oh, can't get over that bug. My, it certainly is a beautiful night,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is a beautiful night, Marilyn.
Hey, there's going to be a new moon. And you know what I'm going to wish?
What?
That I catch the biggest fish I ever caught on her vacation.
Well, if I was to wish, I'd ask that we have a real nice trip and maybe meet some interesting people. Assorted genders, you know.
Well, we'll have lots of time, really. We won't be back until September 7th.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's 2 whole months.
Oh, what do you wish, Mayor?
Me wish? Well, I don't know that I can wish for a doggone thing. It's a wonderful night. It's a wonderful old world. It's full of wonderful people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, sweet Alice. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Mm.
This whole wonderful world is the cat's whiskers.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, tonight the mayor of the town leaves the air for a brief 8 weeks. So here to say goodbye for a while is the mayor himself, Mr. Barrymore.
Well, friends, I might as well admit it. Butch and Marilla and I are really looking forward to this vacation. Does everybody good to get away for a while, but we'll be back again first Saturday in September. And we hope you will be here to welcome us. So, until September the 7th, many thanks for your loyalty, both to us and to our sponsor, the makers of Noxzema. And that reminds me, don't forget to slip a jar of Noxzema in your bag when you're getting ready to go away.
And be sure to be with us September the 7th, same time, same station, for the mayor of the town. Ladies and gentlemen, this program is honored to receive a special award from the Los Angeles Alumni Chapter of Phi Beta Fraternity, a national honorary of music and dramatic arts. Here is Miss Isabel Draysmer, the president, to present it.
Thank you, Mr. Peters. We, the members of Phi Beta, strive to promote the best in music and drama and have voted the mayor of the town the best dramatic broadcast of this year. To Mr. Barrymore, to Miss Moorhead, whom we Phi Betas are proud to have as an associate member, to Comrade Binion, all the members of the cast throughout the season, the writers, the orchestra, and the producer, Mr. Knowles Endrickson, I present the Phi Beta Radio Drama Award for 1946.
Our script tonight was written by Charles Caswell, music by Bernard Cass. Mr. Barrymore appears to the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Easy to Wed, starring Van Johnson, Esther Williams, Lucille Ball, and Keenan Wynn. Now, this is Ken Peters wishing you all a very pleasant good night for two famous products.
Noxzema skin cream for a smoother skin.
Noxzema shave cream for a cooler shave.
The mayor of the town, with Lionel Barrymore, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 13, 1946 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBeaunier. Thanks for tuning in.